Come on in, guys.
Welcome back into Talking Llama. We've got episode 2 of Survivor 46. Jared, the first hour of this episode was brutal. It was just rough all around. The second hour definitely picked up, but the first hour was that was bad. I'm very glad that the 2 hour episodes are done.
Yeah. I guess I will have to talk about in what way it picked up, but
I guess in the sense that things happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Like, I'm all for more camp life, but you've got to find something better than 3 minutes of a Metallica Taylor Swift song naming competition.
Yeah.
That's like,
if you need 3 minutes, you could go to commercial break during a challenge, though.
that song naming, like, I love seeing that kind of thing clipped and shown, but show us like 30 seconds, show them starting it, show a little time lapse, do the counter, and then have the end.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, I love Taylor Swift. I'm a huge, huge fan. I don't need to see some other fan just name songs, though.
I think it reached the point of no return when, what's the name? Dan? Is that his name?
The musician guy?
Yeah.
Ben.
Sorry. Nobody on this season's forgettable. I don't know how I would do that.
Well, he's probably one of the least forgettable ones, which is why it's funny.
When he said on two different occasions that he didn't listen to any of the bad Metallica albums. We had to hear that sentence twice.
Well, the other news, Jared, just a couple weeks ago, there was a Jeff Probst interview of not casting villains anymore. And then this week happened. Do you think what we saw out of the Yanu and Nami tribes was people being villains or just being dicks?
I just think it's like kind of dickish behavior and somewhat incompetence.
Yeah, because I saw a bunch. I don't know how much you follow Survivor Twitter anymore, but there are a bunch of people saying like, oh, you're pissed off that they're not casting villains, but you can't even handle this. It's like, they're just being like jerks. Villains are like Russell. Obviously, he's a huge jerk, but Boston
and
Rob,
a villain.
Yeah, but like Boston Rob and Sandra, and even Parvati, you could call villains, but they're not jerks. They're not like dicks out on the island like Russell is. So it's not a 1-to-1 comparison. But I saw that a lot, and it seemed like a very disingenuous take. Just you saw the surface level and just took it. But yeah, I didn't think these people were being villains. They're just being like mean spirited.
You forgot your boy Tyson too. Very Courtney Yates. Like, these people are hilarious individuals, and they can also come across as like devious game players, and we like that. That's exactly what we're looking for. When you say Nami, like, what would you say the villainous behavior on Nami is?
So, not what I say it is, what people were basically just how specifically Tevin and Soda were treating Venus just in general.
Yeah.
Like, have you clocked the thing with the immunity idol?
Clocked the thing with the immunity idol.
Like when Jeff hands the immunity idol to Nami.
Oh, no, I haven't.
So go back and watch it. It's happened both episodes now. Episode 1, he hands it to Venus, and Soto just reaches out and just grabs it.
Yep.
And sure, one time, she's excited. She wants to touch it. She wants to hold it. I get that. sure, give her a pass. Last night, I'm recording this on Thursday, he hands it to Venus again, and Soda tries to take it again, and Venus just pulls it away.
Yeah, and then she, like, turns around to let everyone else touch it, and no one touches it, and she's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, no, and Rendon, I think, is just like, no, just hold it. Like, it's, like, not a big deal whatsoever, but whatever, I cannot wait to hear. I mean, obviously, it's going to be sanitized and washed over when Soda talks about it. She's not going to say, oh, I just hated Venus and didn't want her to hold it. Like, I would love it if that's what she said. That'd be incredible stuff, but I doubt she will. And just,
yeah.
So, like, there's that. And then there's after the challenge where she's talking about, like, my foot got ran, my toe got ran over. I was telling you guys we need to turn. No one listened to me. You went straight right over my toe. And they're just like, stop complaining. Like, what, who cares? We won.
Yeah. That I actually have less sympathy for Venus. Like, it's like, it's over. Like, get over it. Your toe hurts. Like, this happens on Survivor. But
yeah,
it's more factoring that in, like, with the context of them just being really, really, like, vicious towards her.
Yeah. I think it's fair that that car is probably super heavy.
Yeah.
And I didn't go back and watch the challenge. I can't say for sure what her positioning was and how easily she could have moved her foot out of the way, like out of the path of the wheel. But I think that's probably fair to be a little pissed off or annoyed that you saw something that was going to happen and you said, hey, let's not do this so this doesn't happen. Everyone ignores you and then that thing happens.
Yeah, I think part of it for me is like the, yeah, I need to rest. I need to rest. You ran over my toe. And just the drama of the whole thing, like, that's where she started to lose me a little bit. And I was like, I'm pretty much still 100% Team Venus here for, like, these tribe dynamics. I think,
oh, yeah,
like, she's, like, just everyone assumed, like, the worst things about her and, like, put her in this box that, like, it's okay to put, like, smart pretty girls in and, like they can't judge anyone else, but, like, you know, you can just single them out and be as terrible to them as you want. Like, that's kind of how it looked. Mm-hmm. But, like, and I have sympathy for her for that, but, like, that's yeah, like, just towards the end is where I was like, Venus, like, you're also not helping yourself out here just with, like, how you are handling this. But I mean she can be mad, her toe hurts.
I've almost been in that same situation. I mean, not the wheel, but like a car wheel. Is that
on Survivor?
I had my shoes on and someone's backing out of my parents' driveway and they rolled over, like, the very like tip top toe of the shoe, and, like, my feet don't go all the way up to it, thankfully. So, but we looked at each other like, oh man, like, that could have been really bad.
That would have been a career ender.
That was, it was in the middle of tennis season too. I was getting dropped off after Ooh. Practice.
Oh yeah.
Could have
yep.
changed Not the whole good. Trajectory of my life, Jared.
And now you get to see Venus in a different light.
Yep.
Like there's a pun there or something.
Like the planet Venus?
Yeah.
How much light does it give off?
I'm not going to go for it. We'll move on.
All right. Back at the beginning, after a little preamble, at Yanu after their first tribal council, Kenzie is still doing all social butterfly, big strategy for her there. Mm-hmm. She's starting to worry about Banu, as you should, as an alliance member, because she's talking about how doesn't think he can lie or keep secrets. Easiest assumption of a player maybe ever.
Astute observation.
So she wants either Banu or Jess gone next. Jess was the other possible target at the first tribal. Nothing's really changed with her. Makes sense that she'd be on the block at least to start. And then Banu, if you can't trust somebody, they're not really doing you any good. But like we maybe discussed last time. She's maybe playing a little too hard, a little too fast, because Q and Tiffany are both kind of clocking that. And just, they're not saying we got to get rid of her, but they're basically just saying, let's keep an eye on this. And I feel like that's just Kenzie, but now that's out of the bag, you know, that's just what she's going to have on her back the whole time.
Yeah. And especially like the scene where it was just her and Banu and Jess, and like conveniently it's those three. And she's like, final three. Like if you're taking those moments to just like go enormous with your strategy building, and it's like day two, everyone's going to be like,
Well, hey, it was day four.
Okay. Day four. Yeah, I suppose, you know, game moves fast these days. But yeah, just like what a strange and impromptu moment to just like, this is a huge strategic play. And I just feel like it was just out of circumstance. All of that happens sometimes, but
yeah, I do appreciate that she was at least talking to them, because it's very clearly Q and Tiffany and Banu and Jess kind of my default, but those are very clearly the two groups. And Kenzie, I think, was smart to at least engage with them and kind of assess where things are at. But yeah, that'd be a tough trio to be in charge of.
Yep.
And then we get into some of the beginnings of the Nami nonsense. And Tevin and Soda, like we said, they just kind of decide that Venus is untrustworthy. And unless they just haven't shown the scenes of this where this is on display, the show itself hasn't really given us any reason to back Soda and Tevin's belief on that.
Yeah.
Aside from just looking at them and hearing them say, she can't be trusted.
Yeah, and they've actually like done the opposite, where like they show Venus just looking really uncomfortable with everyone ignoring her. Like it's not just that like they're not showing Venus like being a jerk. It's the exact opposite thing that they're showing.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's also, like you said earlier, like incompetence. Like if someone's at the bottom, that's one of the people you want to make most feel at home.
Yeah.
Like when someone's at the bottom and they know definitively they're at the bottom, the people who put them there have messed up somewhere.
Yep. Well,
especially 4 days in or 3+ days in, and somebody already knows without there being sure. there could be some big blow up about whatever, and there's just a clear rift. But there's just been nothing. It's just been Randon saying she's Parvati because she's hot and smart, I guess.
And the two worst things you can be. Yeah,
I don't fully get it.
No, it also goes without saying, but like they haven't been to tribal council,
right?
And she knows she's on the bottom. Like,
yeah, she hasn't been duped or left out of a vote, or voted upon and saved with her shot in the dark or whatever, and just there by the grace of God. You know, they haven't done anything that can definitively show trust one way or the other. And they're just deciding. And they even say that they liked her, especially Soda. She's like, yeah, we connected right away. Like, she likes this person, but she's just saying, no, get away from me.
Yeah. Interesting way to build relationships.
Yes. Yes, quite interesting. But because she knows she's on the bottom, she goes idol hunting, as does Randon and as does Hunter. Randon beats him to it, finds the beware advantage, exact same as what Tiffany found. The beware it's kind of like less risky and more risky at the same time, because like always, you lose your vote till you find the idol. But losing the next immunity challenge basically gives you the idol. So it seems, I mean, granted, that puzzle maybe wasn't the easiest thing, but it seems like you might be at the least risk of losing your vote for a long time with this one.
Yeah, isn't that just basically finding an idol? Like
with an extra step.
Yeah.
Jared, in five seasons, going to be, I found an idol, and it's just an idol.
That would be like a true like evolutionary moment in the game.
Man, if only someone had come up with that idea, you know, 30 seasons ago.
Yeah.
35 seasons ago, if I'm remembering Guatemala correctly, as an 11th season.
Well.
But so he finds it. And I like what he did because he feels like he's on the bottom. That he says, oh, even ahead of Venus, I'd be the first to go. And so he finds the idol or the Beware Advantage that will lead him to an idol. And with the Beware Advantage, a lot of players are feeling, another reason the Beware Advantage is stupid, they feel like they have to confide in another player to kind of help them navigate. And so he chooses the other person that no one on the tribe connects with, which is Venus. Which I like that play, that if he realizes that he's on the outs with the other three and telling them this is just going to give them more incentive to vote him out, go to the other person who's also on the outs, two people with an idol that no one else knows about can do a lot of damage in a six-person tribe.
Yes.
If played correctly, obviously.
And if the other people in the tribe don't play correctly.
Yeah.
You just split two and two.
But I feel like people are
dumber on current seasons.
Getting a lot. Well, because they're talking about like the shot in the dark. And I feel like they're just ignoring that. They're just kind of, I mean, obviously there's a difference what comes up later in this episode. But if it's gonna be a 5-1 vote, the other four of those people are going to have a secondary target. So if that person plays their shot in the dark correctly, all the votes are negated. They vote out their next choice for 4-1 on the revote, or 3-1, depending on how many people are left.
Or you just have someone throw one vote on the other person.
Yeah. And we've seen people do that without telling their tribe mates that they're just going to put that safety vote on whomever. But it at least gives him and Venus some more wiggle room that they didn't have before. So I'll be interested to see where that goes. Might go nowhere with how some of the people are playing, showing what kind of knack they have or don't have for the game. Over at Sega, I mean, not a lot interesting. I mean, this whole first hour, like we said, was pretty rough. Maria and her extra vote are kind of the hot topic over at Sega. Obviously puts her on everyone's radar, whether or not they want to work with her or try to get her out. There's the extra vote is a reason to do both, even though people, once again, as always, overvalue extra votes and steal votes and all that, but just what happens now. But Charlie and Maria are kind of in the middle, so they kind of feel like they can go either way with the Charlie's Angels Alliance, or with the other guys plus Maria. So just kind of like on Yanu, some different dynamics opening up there. Getting to the immunity challenge. What did you think about the pre-challenge like Matt Chat? Because I thought that was just like awkward and very brutal to listen to. And as the kids say, it was cringe. Like there was no flow to it. And not that there always will be when these people have known each other for 4 days and have seen their opponents for a couple hours total, but it was like a very poorly written TV show, like a first draft of a TV show or movie. I don't know. I love seeing the trash talk, but this was just nonsense.
Yeah, it was like they were trying to like act out good trash talking. Like really, really strange.
That's I think the perfect way that they were given a script, and a lot of non-actors were trying to bring it to life. That's what it was. That's perfect. Well done.
I'll just get my dig in on the cast right now. I can't guarantee this is the last one, but this is honestly like what you would think would happen when there's no charisma in the cast at all.
Like the Matt Chat that we got is what would happen.
Yeah.
But like the funny thing was, it came from Q and Soda, who are like two of, who are like legitimately charismatic. And even with them, it was like,
I don't think we have the same definition of charisma. Man,
you don't think so?
I think Q gives the weirdest, most awkward sounding confessionals I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, but he gives it with a lot of gusto. He's at least put, he's at least putting his back into it.
He like, I guess he sounds like certain of what he's saying, but like,
well, I don't know. Maybe really, I mean, weird. I'm free to be proven wrong. Maybe it's just compared to the rest of the cast that they just pop more than others. Aside,
he sounds
from Ben,
like a drill sergeant.
No one pops. No one has more charisma than Ben.
Sure.
I really liked this challenge. Actually, I only liked the puzzle. I loved the puzzle. I saw a lot of people on Twitter joking about with Nami, like, oh man, it would have been very helpful to have a 6'4 giant at this at this challenge.
Yeah, the physical beast.
So that arch puzzle, you have to, like, you know, build it outside in and hold it up. I loved how hard it was, and that,
yeah,
this was the one thing the longer episode benefited this week, is that they got to show just how tough it was. That usually they probably wouldn't show every puzzle falling that many times, but they had the extra minutes to play with, including, like you alluded to, the mid-challenge commercial break, which doesn't happen very often.
No,
this just looked brutal. I loved it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think that gave, like, a, as a viewer, it gave me some appreciation for, like, how frustrating it was and how hard everyone was working to get it done. And there was, like, there's, like, like tiles flipped backwards and, like, letters out of place, and it would just crumble. And I can't imagine being in the mental state of someone like Tiffany, just, like, wanting it to happen so bad, and your tribe just being destined to fail.
And every tribe got so close so many times. Every one of them was one block away at, from what we saw, and there maybe more, a few times at least.
Yeah. Yep. That was a good one.
There was a point there on Yanu where they were getting close, but Q had put, so the word was persistent, they're spelling out. He put the P and R like sideways.
Yep.
And I was wondering if, because they were in the right position, like location of the word, I was wondering if Jeff was going to count that if they had finished.
I saw that and my gut was like, oh no.
Like, that's what I thought too. It was like, yeah, they're going to have the word right. They're going to think they won. And then Jeff's going to say no.
Like, because the puzzle is wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he would have said no. And I think it would have been a fair decision to say no.
And it would have been really funny.
It would have been hilarious. Even more so that it was Yanu that it happened to.
Yeah.
Just would have been incredible. But eventually Nami gets the puzzle. They win once again. They get the nice big fishing kit. And then, to no one's surprise, Siga takes second with a smaller fishing kit, sending Yanu back to Tribal Council again. And then we get into some interesting antics over at Yanu with a fake idol.
I'm just going to let you take it away. This is like next. Never mind. I'll save it.
I'm curious to know what that next word or string of words was going to be.
It's just like next level, like, bad Survivor playing, I feel like everything that happened from this point forward.
There was a lot of questionable decisions here. I get so Kenzie and Tiffany make a fake idol, hoping that Jess will find it, and that kind of as a guard against her shot in the dark. But like we said before,
it's
let her play it. It's successful. Vote out Banu next. You have a very clear 4 and 5 in the tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and if they think about it, they can guard against it. But let's just go with it. They're doing this. So Jess will find the idol, play it, no shot in the dark, easy, clean, 4-1 vote. I'm sorry. It was kind of funny watching them not get her to find it.
Yeah. Yep. That was
like
good.
I was thinking of like the David Wright J fake idol in Millennial Gen X. And I mean, that one was, you know, hidden better because it was out like in a path and just had the weird like marking on it. This one they tucked in like a wall. And in their mind, they thought it was the most obvious thing ever. And yeah, I think Jess probably should have seen it based on how they were like basically guiding her by hand to it. But I think that was probably pretty easy to miss.
Yeah, it just one of several reasons why maybe this wasn't the best idea.
So I think, sure, go for it here. I think at this point, you just let it go. And then they decide, nope, we're pot committed. We're going all in, baby. They give it to Q to just out of nowhere, give it to Jess to play. Which from Q's standpoint, why? Why would you go along with this? Because he says, well, maybe now I can use this to vote out Kenzie. But he doesn't tell Jess the idol is fake. Even if you use her to vote out Kenzie, and then he says later on, if I vote Kenzie out, Jess is a solid number. You gave her a fake idol, didn't tell her. How is she going to be a solid number for you?
Yeah. Logic, not the best here.
Yeah. Like,
it just seemed like so much unnecessary work to accomplish something that everyone was on board with.
Yes.
Like there's way easier ways that you can do this.
Yeah. Did you get the sense that it was mean-spirited at all, the way they did it?
It came off that way afterwards. Like the amount of effort that they put in to making sure that she found it and like letting her play it, like because Tribal went the way it did and it became so obvious that she was going, like, it came off probably worse than it was.
Yeah, I don't think they did it with any malice in their minds, that there was no bad intentions, like, oh wait, let's humiliate her, like the Randy Bailey idol. I don't remember the circumstances of how he found it. Do you remember?
No.
But I remember
I should.
People like laughing at him as he played a fake idol. It's like, dude. I mean, Gabon was a mess of a season for a lot of reasons. But that just, I was like, why? Like, you want to get him to play a fake idol so he has some sense of security and you get him out? Sure. But to do it where you're like laughing at his misfortune.
Yeah. Bob made some legendary fake idols.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of to blame for this because the fake idol is kind of nonsense. And and now it's just oversaturated with sometimes the show literally giving them fake idols to play with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, there was another, what was it? The stick that everyone was laughing at Jason for.
Oh, that was deserved.
That was. I know there's like a line of like, this is just funny and like entertainment for everyone. And yeah, the Randy one was a little different, but
Eliza's reactions to that are just like, that was she was probably the perfect person to have that happen with for Jason from like a enjoyment entertainment TV standpoint.
100%.
But no such fun as that here. It's just awkward watching them force this poor woman who is having just the hardest time out there. And they're just, whether they mean to or not, they're just actively making it worse.
Yeah. And I think also why it kind of came off as mean spirited is because like, clearly Jess has no idea what she's doing out there. And like, like, I don't even know if she would have played a shot in the dark. Like, she could just be like that out of the game. And
so part of that, some of the hindsight we have or benefit we have from recording a little later this week, and I haven't listened to it, but I've heard people kind of summarize some of her exit press from today, that she didn't want to quit, but she was like basically done with like, she wanted to go and didn't have like any fight to stay. So to that, she maybe wouldn't have played her shot in the dark. If she knows she's going home and if she's having that rough of it, she might've just let it happen anyway. Not that they would know that, but.
Oh man, that just like, I am really going to try not to keep saying it, but like, this, she's like one of the worst casting decisions I can remember. Like, totally in over her head. It, like said, episode one, not strategic. Like, she's not even cut out to last more than a few days. And it's like, how do you pick this person to go on the show? And we've seen this now. How was last season where there's two quits to start, or was it like the one before that?
No, Hannah quit first. And then Legendary Jacob got voted out legitimately. And then Sean quit early. It was definitely pre-merge by a handful of votes. I don't know if it was, I think it was third or fourth. I think we're talking about how we had like two of the first four, two of the first three votes were quits.
Yeah, it's, you have to do better than this. And that's just like, that's just like a choice that they made. Like, this is who we want on our show. Sorry, Jess. You seem very nice.
Yeah, like she seems lovely. Like, she didn't do anything out there that was like, oh, she's a bad person or anything like that. It's just, like you said, she seemed, for a whole host of reasons that, who knows what else was going on, but the fact of the matter is, once she got out there, it definitely seemed like this was just a bad fit. So, I don't know what they can do aside from just cast better, I suppose. And I don't know if they're only taking applicants. They're probably getting people like this who are just the super fans who just want to say they went on Survivor versus, I don't want to compare every episode, but like Australian Survivor, they've been killing it with their casting.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm actually surprised you're not going harder on the American version, is because now that I'm like, I know what Australian Survivor is like present day mainly. And yeah, it's the casting is where you see the biggest differences for sure. There's some elements that like feel more old school that are more like gameplay related or challenge related that, also give it more of the feel that I like, but I'm just like last week, I feel like I'm a little like Australian Survivor is fresher in my mind. And you came on and you're like, yeah, I thought this was a good episode. And I'm like, huh. It's so different.
It's funny how much better Aussie is than US right now. Like,
yeah,
it's disappointing, but it's funny. It's the same, like the guts of it are the same show.
Uh-huh.
And Australian just is just blowing it out of the water right now. Just, yeah. it's not even comparable to how much better it is for every single thing about the show.
There's no aspect that American Survivor is currently doing better than Australian Survivor.
If I understand it correctly, the only thing they do better is their payouts.
Sure.
Because I think in Aussie, only the winner gets money.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. That has nothing to do with watching the show.
Right, but like that's the one thing. That's where we're going for saying what does US do better. Because even like the camera work and production value, Australian is, because is catching up on that. Like US Survivor, the way that, like even this week, the way they kind of did the camera work through the challenge was really cool. And that, I mean, that adds some to the show. But even like the other, you know, Australia and South Africa are catch up in that regard too. So it's not even like that's a firm feather in the cap ahead of it. But yeah, from the challenges to now, I will say Australian Survivor has just singularly some of the worst twists in all of the franchise, like on par with like the Hourglass and some of the worst US twists, but they've learned from their mistakes and they have far fewer twists right now. Something the US could take. Like I love that the things Probst is saying, like, oh, we need this, that, and the other thing. Aussie's doing it the exact opposite, and it's just definitively way better. Like there's a season airing right now in Australia. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is Aussie Survivor. And they're doing exactly the opposite of what Jeff want to do. Like there's a big, huge bodybuilder or strongman, I guess, on the current season. I don't know that he's seen, excuse me, even 3 minutes of Survivor before he went on the show. He's just this big, gregarious Samoan guy. He's laughing all the time. He's cracking jokes. He's a great character, but he's like exactly the type of person that US Survivor would never even consider casting.
Yeah, because he's not going to go on the show and his first instinct just be to tell them how great their show is. Like, this is, one of the main issues. Yeah, with all the super fans, I mean, sure, like, they're going to know the game better than most people, but like also where you're just going to get so much of the like, this is so cool, I'm on Survivor, it's Jeff Probst, like, and that guy, as you're describing him, like, couldn't care less, and he's just out there like making great TV.
Yeah, like I think we kind of joked in this recent, like a couple seasons ago, when Sandra was on Australian Blood versus Water, and when she got introduced to, you know, the beginning of the cast, the marooning, some people definitely knew who she was. Some people, she was just some lady who got a special introduction on a helicopter. And like, who the hell is this?
Yeah. Is this one of the alternates? I don't know what's going on here.
Come in last minute, but she to come in separate. Like they'll recruit players, they'll cast people who have no idea what the show is. And oftentimes I'd say those players make the most interesting strategists because they don't have this preconceived notion of, you know, the quote unquote right way to play the game. It's just, they go on feel and instinct and just go for it.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be about strategy. I mean, that's great when there's people that are really emphasizing that part of the game. But like, if you're not a super fan and you're specifically being chosen to be on the show, like, there's gotta be a good reason. Like, I mean, personality wise probably, but like, it could just be that you look like a monster and like they want to see like how you're going to be in these challenges. Like, so this is all, it's all a tangent, but it kind of brings us back to like the things that, even though I would say it was like the most interesting part of the episode is like figuring out all this Jess stuff with like idols and whatnot. Like, it's all just happening to a player that doesn't really seem that invested or aware of what's going on. And it just like doesn't, it just like made it not really work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. She wasn't really like fighting back or anything. Like, she did say, well, I don't even know if this is real or not, but that's about all that she did.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. So they go to tribal. Did you think there was any doubt that it was going to be Jess? Do you think there was any chance they were going to pivot to Banu or Blindside Kenzie?
When he started going around asking them if the plan was still on, I thought like maybe 5%. They're just like, have to get rid of this guy.
Banu?
Yeah.
When he says, Kenzie, who should I vote for?
Whoever you want.
Like, she wasn't even whispering either. She was just asking. She goes, so you're game, man. Vote who you want to vote for.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so no, I guess. And how it was coming across, like with Banu being like, it's still Jess, right? Like, that's, you kind of know it's Jess, but I mean, him going around and like, I forget who he asked, like, am I going home tonight? And I think it was Tiffany. And she said like some like funny one-liner, and he's like, okay, yep, sorry.
I feel like Tiffany, as well as anybody, at least on that tribe, knows the game. And it's got to be so frustrating. Someone who even has like this tiniest amount of like actual applicable game knowledge and skill to just be saddled with people like this.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. She knows the game, she's trying, and she cares. Like, and she's pretty intense personality wise. Mm-hmm. Like, so I have no issues with Tiffany. I think like after the challenge, even like we kind of skipped over this part, but she's like, if I could say everything I wanted to right now, like people would view me in a way I don't want them viewing me. And partially that made me want to hear it, but
oh yeah,
like you can tell there's like a fire there that she's like playing the game on a different level than a lot of the people.
Yeah, big fan, relatively speaking, from the cast of Tiffany so far. But yeah, so Jess does play, you know, quote unquote play the idol. Obviously it's fake, and she goes home unanimously. Are your thoughts after episode two any different than after the premiere last week?
No.
Still holding steady? Didn't improve or decline either way?
No, it's just like it's Survivor and it's people who are not really interesting to me, like for the most part. And that's kind of how it's going to be. I guess maybe we can wait and see like more of the other tribe dynamics and see like once we get more of them, if they're better. I keep saying we, but it's like me. Like I just need to see more from the other tribes and it'll change my mind. But like there's like it's mostly pretty rough. Liz, man. We haven't talked about Liz, but
oh my goodness, that was horrible.
I
literally was watching the episode during like the challenge and all of the stuff before that, thinking Jared is going to hate this. And
yeah,
I hated it too.
It was painful. Like it's not. And again, I mean, sure, it's a different personality, but like, it's painful. And yeah, there was one. She like you're talking about her talking about like how much money she makes and
everything she did this episode, all of it, every single thing.
Everything. Yeah, she when she said she's like single because like it takes a special. I have the quote here. What is this? It takes a special kind of man to be with a woman who makes so much money and to know she doesn't need him. And I was like, it would certainly take a special kind of man to be with someone who says things like that.
Yes.
Like, I oh my gosh.
And then I can't remember who it was. Someone said like, well, who wouldn't want, or like you'll find somewhere, whatever. She was like, oh yeah, well, who wouldn't want to be with Liz? And then was it Randy who said, who wants to be with someone like Liz?
I didn't hear that part. I heard someone, she's like, yeah, they don't want to be with someone who makes as much money as me. And one of them was like, why not? Like, and she's like, well, no, it's not they don't want to, it's that they can't handle it. And
they can't have me or something like that. Yeah. But then the stuff with the Maybe the worst part was when Jeff was talking about who's going to sit out. Do you remember how she said she was going to sit out?
No, I remember the awkward chatter on the benches.
She says, the one and only Liz.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, that's just stupid. That's terrible. But yeah, then the just the, nah, me. Just the, it's not a, you're just saying a word. If I was in a challenge, I would hope I would just tune that out. But if I couldn't, oh, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah, the yes you can.
That would make me worse.
Yeah, it's a lot of tough moments this episode for Liz, but this is why I know it's no one wants to tune
See,
in.
If Liz was on a season that was an otherwise like solid cast, she would be a good character because it would create conflict or drama or something or funny soundbites. Think of like a Tyson or Courtney.
Tyson with Liz would just
giving their
I can't even imagine
their confessionals on someone like that.
It makes me too sad to think of what we're not getting. Like when I think of it. Yeah, that's sorry, I'm just running through some of the possibilities, but yeah, I get what you're saying. There, like, if she's like kind of a supporting, like, random big personality, yeah, I think I might enjoy it a little more as far as like television goes
because of how the other players would interact with and around her.
Yeah, but these ones are like, she's like, oh yeah, Liz runs big businesses, and they're like, okay. And that's it.
Like everyone's scared to stir stuff up, which early on, I suppose I get it. But even in the confessionals, they're not really going for it. That's when you should. That's when you
yeah,
want
just
to
go in and yeah, just rant about someone.
Yeah, yep. not gonna know until 7 months later. And if you're gonna rant about them, I don't care if they're gonna know 7 months later.
yeah, that's where I'd get in trouble. Like I would. Like in the moment, I would be mad at someone for doing something, and I would like take it out in a confessional, and then be like, "Oh crap!" Like I really don't dislike them that much, and I'm gonna have to watch this now. But yeah,
I wonder how many friendships have been like altered or changed based on a confessional that someone like wasn't warned about happening, given by someone that had since become a good friend.
Yeah, or like they cut out the part where it's like. Like, I love this person, but like, and then you just go in on them and you just take it out of context. Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened. All right. Well, I'm trying to stay positive. I'm hoping with the 90-minute episodes coming back that it'll tighten up a little bit, get some more interesting storylines. Other tribes will lose. I think that's key.
That would be great.
Get some dynamics rather than just Yanu just self-imploding to start off the season. See what Nami or Siga is like when they need to vote somebody out. They're all just kind of happy on the surface, and see what happens. See when Nami doesn't get to vote out Venus or Randan, what happens when they come back to camp the next day. Like, there's potential for some interesting stuff to happen, and I don't have high hopes for this to be a great season, but still Survivor, and it's not Thailand, so I'll count it as a win for now.
Uh-huh.
And we'll just go from there. Any final thoughts, Jared?
No, I'll yeah, looking forward to next week.
All right, well, for next week, just make sure you are subscribed, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen, on Twitter at Llama Talk Pod, Instagram at Talking Llama Pod. And for Jared Sundin, this is Matt Hambidge, and we will see you next time for another Scoop of the Crispy.